Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Very sad and serious news in the world of basketball this week. It's obviously not something this podcast normally focuses on, but I thought it would be weird not to briefly touch on the passing of Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest players of all time. He died in a helicopter crash near Los Angeles with his daughter Gianna, also on the helicopter. And a whole bunch of family and other teammates are going to a basketball tournament. Those people were Gianna's basketball teammate, Alyssa Altobelli, Alyssa's mother, Kerry, her father, John, the basketball assistant coach of the team, Christina Mouser, another teammate, Peyton Chester, Peyton's mother, Sarah, and helicopter pilot, Ara Zabayan. This has been a horrible, horrible tragedy, and obviously, there's been tons of tributes. I don't think this is the podcast or the place for it. To one of the greatest basketball players ever to play, and beloved. I don't think I was aware of how important Kobe was to so many people. I should have known weeks before when I saw they're still selling Kobe Bryant jerseys, not retros, just like current Laker jerseys, in a Foot Locker in New Zealand, which just blew my mind that he was still selling jerseys well after his retirement and not as like a weird throwback thing. He'll go down as one of the top 10 greatest basketball players of all time. Unbelievable talent on the court, and I have a lot of great memories watching him. Off the court, he obviously was a father and a husband and a philanthropist and a basketball coach and a businessman. He was a wonderful person. It's just amazing to see how many people he touched and how many people absolutely loved the guy. It was amazing to see. And the tributes have been fit for a royalty, really, which is what he was. He was basketball royalty. It's my personal opinion, and I think it's also important to bring up that there, in my opinion, has not been enough attention on the off-court trauma that comes to mind when discussing Kobe Bryant, most notably his 2003 rape trial, which had a massive impact on sexual assault and rape trials in America. They changed the rape shield laws in Colorado after Kobe's legal team aggressively pursued the alleged victim and, in my opinion, gave her no other option but to do what she eventually did, which was drop the charges and settle out of court. Kobe, as part of the agreement, I think, released a public apology after the criminal trial was dropped. He said, "Although I truly believe this encounter between us was consensual, I recognize now that she did not and does not view this incident in the same way that I did. I now understand how she feels that she did not consent to this encounter." Around the NBA, the tributes to Kobe as an athlete have been unbelievable. A lot of teams have been running 8-second or 24-second violations to pay tribute. On a lighter note, my favorite tribute was the Charlotte Hornets, the team that drafted him, who not only ran down the clock for a 20-second shot clock violation, a guy pointed out on Reddit that they also made 8 threes in the game while missing 24 threes. Good on you, Charlotte. And rest in peace, all the victims of that horrible tragedy. Today's podcast will focus on the lighter side of basketball, as we normally do. JT is my special guest. Paul is, I don't know where Paul is. He said he was coming and then he just stopped texting me. He ghosted me, my own brother. He's back in New Zealand. If you see him, tell him I'm looking for him and I need him to do a podcast.
If you don't like that, you don't like NBA basketball.
Straight in with the basketball talk. Do you give a shit about the Super Bowl?
Yeah, yeah. I've only into football after going to America and that one Saints game. Now I'm a total hoodette, as they call it.
I've been to a Saints game. I went to watch the Minnesota Vikings. I just, live or on TV, I find there are too many stoppages. Do you not get annoyed by that?
No, on TV I don't like it. Live was awesome. I loved it.
The crowd gets really into it and they're all dressed up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did you not find and NBA games are a bit like this too now. Do you not find the constant military tributes a bit weird?
Oh, it's propaganda. So the Houston Rockets was so strange.
Yeah.
They're having the soaring eagles and the overlay of like soldiers marching into battle with Westbrook doing a dunk.
Yeah.
It's propaganda.
It's crazy, yeah.
It's crazy there's not been more Colin Kaepernicks because it is like quite like surreal propaganda.
It's a fascinating one because just even something as subtle as playing the anthem before every game, you're like, that's so weird.
It's propaganda.
And I heard, you've said it's propaganda four times.
Right, sorry. It is another counting words.
But like, I heard allegedly, I have not researched this, that like the first time it was originally the military that paid for every NFL game to have the anthem played. But then it created, like, it's been mimicked by every other sport in America because it's a great way to create a sense of occasion. You almost think every sport should have, if you have a big patriotic song before the game, it makes you feel big. But regardless of whether or not that is true about the anthem, if you go to an American sports event, especially a football one, but basketball one to a lesser extent, the amount of military stuff is unbelievable. Often the halftime show will be a salute to the troops. And don't get me wrong, the troops need some respect, but they kind of, a constant glorification of war makes, if for someone who's not used to that, feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, and in a huge twist of irony, I didn't mean to say propaganda.
Well,
I meant to say indoctrination. Indoctrination,
yeah.
Indoctrination.
But there's a lot of things during the game that are paid for by it. One thing that I felt weird was when I went to a...
So the Army's clipping the ticket. So they're
paying for a lot of it, yeah. So I had a funny thing when I went to a Dallas Cowboys game, worth going to, amazing, just for the tailgating alone, unbelievable. But that was a weird thing. It was a combination of hip-hop culture in Dallas and country music. So they have these weird southern rap songs which combine the both. And there's a whole bunch of people there who would look like rap fans line dancing to kind of hip-hop songs.
I'm in.
It's amazing. All with a drink in their hand. Like, honestly, the tailgating is almost better than the actual game. And but the first 10,000 people get in the gate. I just wanted to see the stadium, part of it. The first 10,000 people in the gate got a free scarf. We're in Dallas. It's hot all year round. The scarf was a silky Ford scarf, and it had Ford logos on it and advertised a new truck they were selling. So a scarf, like a winter scarf, but it's silky. I'm just trying to explain how weird this is. Also, the Cowboys logo on it, and it was camo.
Yeah,
like perfect. Military camo. And when I got there, I sat down at my seat, and the next to us sat this woman who had sold us the seats on StubHub or wherever I got it from. And she wanted the scarf. She liked it. I was like, of course you can have this, the worst piece of merch I've ever seen in my life. And I was just trying to relate to her by going, or try and talk about how weird this was by going, it's quite weird, it's military. And she's like, oh, it's military, it supports the military. Nowhere on the scarf did it mention supporting the military. It was just Ford and the Dallas Cowboys connecting to the military, all in this like service. The whole thing.
And so it was implied because it's camouflage.
Yeah.
That's implicit support.
Yeah. And it's just such a weird, you've got to go to a game to understand, and maybe I sound like an asshole targeting the anthem or something like that. It's weird when all the games are an American team versus an American team to play the American anthem. Like, it should be safe for finals, internationals and stuff like that. It's just, as a New Zealander, where we don't have a lot of patriotism, some would say we should have more, but we don't sing the anthem before domestic rugby games. It's very unusual to see.
Yeah, but I mean, you might bring it in for rugby just so someone said something, so it was just silent for 80 minutes.
Get some atmosphere.
It sucks, though. I'm on zero patriotism, but that's just my view. I could care less.
And in their defense, they are at war, and you need to be very patriotic when you are at war, but I don't think they should be at those wars in the first place. We're opening a whole can of worms so we don't have time to get into. My next thing I wanted to ask you just off the top is, do you give a shit about the All-Star game? Because obviously it's been overshadowed for obvious reasons, but even Zion... starting really overshadowed the All-Stars being announced. And I just think everyone's at a sense now where just like, who really cares about this? Everyone kind of hates it now, I feel.
Hates the All-Stars?
Hates the All-Star game, doesn't really care. Like, I don't feel like, oh, Trae Young got his starting five. The fans want him there. That's fine. He's an exciting player to watch.
I'm not aware of any of this controversy. I'm still like loving the All-Star game, stoked on all the players. I don't know any of the people who have had bad feelings.
Do you think Trae Young and Kemba should have started over, say, Jimmy Butler?
Shit, yeah. Ice Trey has been, he's like on an awful team.
And Ice Trey?
Yeah. He's like, they're like 0-40 and he's just doing mixtape stuff just to make the All-Star game. Yeah. Like all he's worried about is making the All-Star game. Give it to him.
Yeah, okay. Well, I wish Paul was here right now.
Should just be him and that guy, the professor, that's all on Instagram.
It's amazing the professor's still going. Like, he was big in my childhood. I broke many windows trying to imitate him and the N1 mixtape guy's moves. Yeah.
What's he a professor of? Handles. Seriously.
What? Every player in the N1 mixtape tour, he's annoying me because he was one of the later ones. Like, I was about the OG, the N1 mixtape volume 1, 2, 3, where it was just literally grainy handycam footage of awesome dunks and sick moves. And there it was like Skip to My Lou, the air up there, half man, half amazing. And it was really kind of uncensored and shambolic. And then what happened is, and that's what N1 brought to the table, they changed their logo. They must have got bought out or something like that. And they started this N1 mixtape tour supported by Mountain Dew, where they wore like uniforms with nicknames on the back, and it became a little bit awkward. And that, I think, ruined it, to be honest, because it became less organic. And the professor was one of the highlights of that awkward phase, I think.
Right. So here's a related question for you, because I don't really have any of this context.
Yeah.
Who's the sort of annoying blonde kid that's always doing layups at the Bucks games?
Oh, sorry, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Right,
one of the owner's kids. I have no idea.
No, he's on Instagram as well, I think, because they show clips of him, his Instagram. He does crazy layups, but he's like 5'6".
And has he got good, is it cool to watch?
I mean, if you've watched a game where NBA players are dunking, seeing a like little kid do layups isn't great.
I always thought it was so funny, the trampoline dunkers. It's like, there's men out there doing this without a trampoline. I mean, I guess they're not doing flips, but I don't know.
Have you seen... Sorry, but one other thing, though, that's really cool. Have you seen Short Man's Basketball League on ESPN?
No.
Everyone's got to be under 6 foot, and it's a lower hoop, and you basically, it's a real no-no that you shoot. It's all dunks. I don't know what it's called. It's incredible.
Man, so it's funny, like, ESPN and stuff will just broadcast anything, eh?
It's honestly way better than normal basketball. I'm not afraid to say that.
Do you know what I like? The Big Three.
Ooh, not a fan.
Okay. The Big Three is quite a cool idea. It's a different style of basketball, obviously being 3-on-3 half court. And a lot of those players that like I remember from the good old days, and I know I don't want to bring up Kobe in any situation, it'll seem disrespectful or something like that, but like he would have been amazing. Imagine seeing Kobe playing in that. Imagine seeing Shaq. I don't know, like just the nostalgia factor. I don't know. You're looking at me very confused.
Oh no, I was just saying you could just have Kobe on a big one. Just
doing a one-on-one. Yeah. A one-on-one league, that's what I want.
They're
the
talking about
game.
That, right? That is an option.
I don't think it's happening. I think people just on social media just talk things around. It's not going to happen. A one-on-one competition would be great. People talk against it. People are like, don't do this. It's the players won't do it because they'll be embarrassed. I was like, you will be embarrassed, someone commenting on the internet, but athletes at a high level want to compete. And I'd say, I guess they don't really try in the skills challenge, but I reckon they'd try.
So Spencer Dinwiddie, bloody tries, and he wants that skills comp every year.
Yeah, okay.
Who do you reckon would win? Who are your top 5 threats for the one-on-one challenge?
Well, just anyone who's physically dominant, so LeBron,
so
Giannis,
I'm putting KD. I don't think anyone's KD. Touching KD one-on-one.
Yeah, probably KD based on height and athleticism. But then you've also got to look at like...
I reckon Giannis would be top 5.
Fast, tricky guys. Yeah, probably not because he can't shoot. You got to remember how physically dominant Giannis is. Like, who is stopping him? Like, KD probably... So you look at the obvious choices in traditional one-on-one. The obvious choices are Kyrie and James Harden, like two of the best one-on-one breakdown players who also shoot step-backs, right?
Yeah. I think Harden would be up there.
Yeah. And he'd be infuriating to watch because someone doing one-on-one where it's supposed to be flaring it just with slow, methodical step-backs would be infuriating. But I mean, that's what he's like in normal basketball anyway. But yeah, probably KD.
Yeah, I think no one's touching KD.
Okay, maybe I was crazy to say Giannis, but... yeah, he's got just huge legs and would just step around mother effers. Like,
Paul George would have to be up there.
Yeah.
But I think defense is basically not a factor at all, right? Like, you just need, like, they're all going to score on each other 9 times. Have you seen the footage from the team USA where KD was at? I don't know if that was 2 years ago. Have you seen the one-on-one footage?
No.
It's incredible. KD's just... Tearing people up. Yeah.
He's so tall and his shot's unstoppable. I think defense would be a factor. I think KD, Giannis, Paul George would cause trouble for Harden, who has to shoot slightly more difficult shots, whereas Harden on KD, he has to, it barely affects KD's game at all, you know? Mm. I think it is definitely a factor. But I love one-on-one from back in the day playing at high school. Bring it back.
Have you seen the, you know, Brian Scalabrine, right?
Yeah, him grilling chumps on a radio station.
But have you seen the guy that was like a Division One college athlete as well? And he destroys him.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroys him.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to be said for playing basketball as your career.
Yeah, for 10 years.
And being a guy who works in a bar and also plays a couple times a week. You know, like, it's just like, yeah. I actually, okay, this is going to sound embarrassing saying a story about myself, but I played basketball a lot when I was about 20, 21, and just became incredibly good like that. And I'd get to Wellington Division A, and because I was playing with the Wellington Saints, which is the Wellington rep team, when I'd get to men's A grade, I could score 25 points just because I played all the time, was so much fitter, stronger than everyone else. Like, you don't realize what a big... There was a time in my uni break where I practiced, like, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day working on my game. And it was like, it's amazing how that did show itself. And, like, NBA player, not only are they elite and they're one of the best players, that's why they got there, but also just years of being a pro is huge.
Yeah, right. But that's...
I can't believe I just related myself to an NBA.
But that's contrary. That's contrary to my own experience. Between the ages, I got my dad to buy me a hoop.
Okay, it was bad enough me bringing up myself. Now you're bringing up you.
Oh, so between the ages of 9 to 13, I played solo on my hoop on my garage with no one else. To play with.
Yeah.
And I got so good I could dunk it at will.
A 10-foot hoop.
Nope. And then I begged my parents to find me a basketball team to join. And on the very first play, the ball came to me and I couldn't catch it because it was a full-size ball and I'd been playing with like a size 3 and the hoop was 10 foot where I'd been playing on like a 6-foot hoop.
No!
And all I can remember is getting the ball, dropping it out of bounds, then the second play getting it again and going up to shoot and just getting like mercilessly destroyed.
You need therapy for this,
yeah,
man.
I didn't play basketball probably for like 5 years after that.
Oh, you don't go from playing by yourself. Look,
on a tiny kiddie's hoop. But I didn't know.
Your parents should have helped you there. I mean, your parents are to blame for that one. Congratulations on loving the All-Star Game. I can't believe you love it. I wish Paul was here right now.
So I love the Celebrity All-Star Game. Love it.
Okay, I got you into the show to help balance out the insanity of me and Paul. And now Paul's gone. I'm wishing Paul's back.
Nah, Celebrity. And the best player, Wynn Butler from Arcade Fire, who I met in another humorous story, but I won't tell. He is the all-time greatest Celebrity All-Star player.
Okay. Wait. So what's the relation to Wynn Butler there? Besides you dropping in that you've got a Wynn Butler story, which you now have to share.
So Wynn Butler is, in my opinion, the greatest celebrity all-star participant.
Yes. And what right did that have to do with anything we were talking about?
Because you were saying about all-star, and I say I love the whole weekend.
Oh, you love the celebrity game.
Yeah, and I love the celebrity game.
How many years have you been watching this for? Because I loved it like 5 years ago.
Yeah, probably 5 years and haven't kept watching it.
Yeah. It's really gone downhill. Like, even the dunk contest, which is something I've always loved, unfortunately, just now most of the dunks have been done. And there's these idiots on YouTube who aren't players, who are just, they're actually awesome, but like dunk specialists who just make anything you see in the dunk contest obviously look bad because they spend all their time dunking.
Right, so I don't watch that stuff.
Have you seen that white guy who can do a scorpion dunk?
No, but what's a scorpion dunk?
A scorpion dunk?
With his feet.
Nah, that would be good. I wouldn't be surprised if someone would try that and could do it with their feet. It almost seems more difficult.
So I'm imagining someone flipping, like doing a forward flip.
Yeah, and dunking it with their foot. That sounds more plausible than what a scorpion dunk is. It's where you dunk the ball by... Okay, imagine you're cradling the ball like Michael Jordan did in that famous cradle dunk.
Like I used to do on my little...
Yeah, where he rocks it back and then rocks it forward. But when you're rocking it back, you bring it round and dunk over the back of your head like that.
Oh, no, hell no.
And he does that, yeah, effortlessly. He's crazy. This white guy, I can't remember his name. He's called, like, again, like the professor or the doctor of dunk. He's called, like, Dr. J. And people are like, that's already a nickname for a famous basketball player. He's like, nah, I'm Dr. J, baby. And there's all these weird TV shows like Mountain Dew Presents, The King of Dunk, presented by Shaquille O'Neal and Kenny. You go down a YouTube rabbit hole one day. There actually are these guys who are just Dunk Flight Brothers or whatever they're called, a whole YouTube channel. They're actually freaks. And it's just amazing that one of the best is white. It's weird that when we talked about streetball, we singled out the one white guy. And now we're talking about dunking, we singled out the one white guy again. But that is the awkward position of this podcast.
So a couple of years ago, I, in a moment of madness, spent, I'd had a few, and I spent a little bit of money, let's call it a couple hundred dollars, we don't need to talk exact money, on a learn to dunk and 12 weeks package. Now, that turned out to be a scam. But do you think... it's a scam. But do you think if it wasn't a scam, do you think I could learn to dunk at 33?
If you went to a gym right now, you're a bit different because you've got ankle problems.
Take out the ankle problems.
If you went to a gym right now and your legs were relatively healthy and you just did a hard weight training program, how tall are you?
5'10", but
I reckon
no vertical.
But you got to remember, if you just spent the next 3 years focusing on nothing but your vertical, I think it's not impossible. Pretty unlikely,
right?
But like, you can train yourself. Yeah. I just amazed, again, back to myself, how much my jumping ability would improve or disapprove based on working out a gym program specifically for jumping and then not doing anything.
Right, but I guess it was the age I'm worried about.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You have to put all your effort into this. You have to be very safe with injuries and, I reckon it's possible.
Okay, I'll start today.
It's not worth it. Like, you're doing the most terrible two-handed finger dunks the world's ever seen.
Oh.
Probably no. Realistically, I bet you're about like 8 inches away right now. You've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
So anyway, maybe I'm crazy for saying that. I wish Paul was here. Paul believes in you. Man, it's funny how much I'm missing Paul. Paul, by the way, we organised this podcast weeks ago, and then Paul got back and was like, "Sorry, I've got to be somewhere else," and just has stopped texting me back. So that's where Paul is, not texting me back. I want to talk briefly about Zion. It's time for the Week in Review.
Review.
You love Zion.
I am all on the Zion. So Zion is not my prototypical...
Do you remember him?
Sorry.
Sorry about that. Minor technical difficulties.
So every year I get extremely hyped on the top draft picks, and I'll go and watch their like college games. And as when I previously mentioned, but love of Markel Fultz, I was so burned by that. Then Luka won me. Then Luka's redeemed it.
Yeah.
So this year I was like, yeah, I'm a good scout. Believe in myself. Went and watched the Duke game.
I love how when you say you're a good scout, you just find the top pick and scout him.
And always agree with that top pick. But this year I was like, no, I watched the Duke games. I was like, all his points are coming off scrappy offensive rebounds that he'd never get over when he's in the NBA. Guys are too big. It won't work. Can't shoot. Not that good a help defender. Now, look, that's probably true, but he is incredible and has the star factor.
Well, he just has that athleticism that you were trying to get with your plyometric scheme. Like, he just has athleticism like we've almost never seen before.
It's unbelievable.
Especially from a build. I mean, people talk about, I think it's his vertical jump, which I guess is the one, I guess they probably do a running jump to measure in the NBA, but it's the one you measure in the NBA, where it's like Aaron Gordon as well, where they just go straight up like a rocket.
And he's got, so he holds the Duke record for vertical. So standing vertical, but he's got a real explosive.
Which is pretty amazing
jump.
When you think of the player who went through Duke, Jabari Parker. That's the only example of a big jump.
I think like JJ Redick. No, Brandon Ingram's Duke.
Who's that?
Kyrie
worst,
Evans.
Who's that worst guy in the world who, that white guy used to like kick people and stuff like that?
Who was that? Like,
plays for the Jazz now? Is he Duke?
I was thinking a guy that's retired ages ago, Christian Laettner.
No, he was hated more for making the dream team.
Right.
But there's a white guy now, kind of buzz cut.
What a great reputation to have.
He trips people and kicks people.
Oh, it's not Grayson Allen. It's Grayson Allen, yeah.
He's in the NBA.
Yeah.
There's
some like factory that's pumping out like not quite Hollywood, but like movie style rich boy villains, and they all just get sent to Duke to finish to kick people. If you're either gonna make it into that like a teen series, like some sort of as a heartthrob,
yeah.
Or you got to go to Duke just to kick people for 4 years.
Oi, speaking of head cases, are you excited to see Dion Waiters back in the AL? Welcome back, Dion.
I have loved Dion Waiters from the very when LeBron went back to the Cavaliers. I saw a press conference in which the question was what it was like to have a big two, and I swear he said Kyrie is important as well. And by this stage he was I'm pretty sure like a second year player who was like nothing but just a chucker.
Yeah,
I love that backcourt.
Nah,
so much.
They were great. So they had a big beef with John Wall and Bradley Beal famously, and I think Kyrie thought they were a big two as well.
I believe they both thought
they were a big two, and they were like battling with John Wall and I mean, to be fair, Kyrie was probably as good if not better than John Wall and Bradley Beal. I love Bradley Beal though. But Waiters is what a character, what a legend, what a start to the year. he was like suspended by his own team for like 20 games. Where it's so funny because you're like, oh, he's clocked to life because he's getting paid. Nah, you don't get paid for that.
Not when you're doing edibles on the plane.
Oh, what a legend. Shout out to Dion. I hope he's getting the help that he probably needs. That sounds too serious, but he doesn't seem like a guy who's on top of the world looking down on creation. We're talking about Zion, though. Welcome to the NBA, Zion. You posed the question in the group chat, who's the worst defender right now? Zion versus Luka. I love watching Zion, but definitely Zion. Like, he's not in
terrible.
He's not in basketball shape. And I felt bad my comments on Zion's body and shape now that you hear bloody Jeff Van Gundy rabbiting on about it and just calling him fat every 2 seconds. But I hope they know what they're doing. Like, I hope they know that having him play at that level, which is, it's not a body type we've seen in the NBA before, is healthy.
So I totally get it, right? Like, common sense tells you want to be as light as possible when you're jumping up and down.
And there's never been an example similar to this in the NBA before, besides maybe out of shape Shaq.
Yeah, or Charles Barkley when he was trying and not get drafted by Philly, right?
Yeah, even that wasn't like this.
And he would have been
Robert Tractor Trailer. There's like very few examples.
Yeah, right. But still,
Sean Kemp, when he was going through some tough times,
he could still dunk it.
Sean Kemp's 6'8". There's a big difference.
True.
Well, I can dunk based on my height alone and wingspan.
At 240, could you dunk though?
No.
That's 130 kegs. Yeah.
I can barely dunk now, mate. Yeah.
Right, and still you're telling me I can do it. This isn't adding up.
No, I'm like, I could get better as well if I worked out properly and lost a bit of weight.
So what we're so going back to Zion for a second about his defense. Yeah, so one on the body shaming, just as a side, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark, what's the
Jackson.
Mark Jackson is like the worst commentator.
Yeah.
It's like they're not even at the game.
Yeah.
They're just saying generic, it could be a video game. They're just saying generic stuff.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with what's happening in the game.
Yeah.
I thought that was gross.
And it's really interesting that someone who's making decisions at ESPN thinks like, oh, this is great, and is like sitting in the truck going, oh, I love listening to these two. But like, if they recorded what they're saying and put it on as a podcast, it would be probably still better than the Advanced Analytics podcast. But no, it's easy for us to talk crap, but like, they're obviously just kind of bored with commentating year in, year out, so many games. And yeah, it kind of shows that they maybe don't have the passion they once had. Think of some new catchphrases.
That's it. I hate the catchphrases. The only one I
like. They were good. People hate them now, but like, when Mark Jackson first came on the scene, I loved hand down, man down. Reach, what's the reach you reach I teach?
Yeah.
Mama, there goes that man. These were all great, but you've got to come up with some new ones, I reckon, because they're all played out now. What about zoopity zap zap? What about slammer?
What about the Spurs one where whenever Patty Mills gets a three, they say, g'day, mate. That's great.
Shooter! Like, there's just so many great things you can yell out during a commentary, and it doesn't take much of a brainstorm sesh.
Here's an idea.
Yeah?
Cut the commentators. You know how they have hot mic for players?
Yeah.
Hot mic one of the people in the crowd that's just saying stuff like that.
Yes.
Or like the Lakers fan behind me at the Mavericks that when someone would miss, he'd just go, missed shot.
I genuinely believe that this is the future of broadcasting. We've talked about it briefly in the podcast before, but like, when you go on the app for the NBA, they, on a big game, they'll give you 50 feeds. They'll give you ESPN, ESPN Spanish. They'll give you home feed, away teams feed. They'll give you Korean, Japanese, Chinese. Like, all these broadcasters are all down this long list of things. It's only a matter of time before they go hoop mics only, stadium mics only. And I think they're staying away from it, probably to do with the players and stuff like that. There's a lot of bad language that's happening out there. You know, if you've sat close to the game, you've probably heard even the coaches, even the clean-cut coaches who you'd expect nice things from, you're going to hear yell out some stuff from time to time.
Do you expect nice things from Quinn Snyder?
No, he looks terrifying.
Yeah, he looks
He's
grosser.
One of the scariest dudes I've ever seen in my life. Are you kidding?
So do you reckon in this concept, what would be cool is everyone had to download the app when they went into the stadium so their mics were live, and you could just be like, I want to listen to Section 20, Roti and CDM.
I don't think that I think the players' mics would be the biggest dream. And I would pay $500 a year on top of my already subscription package if players' mics or at least courtside mics were available as a service. And you know how they're saying they're going to put VR, like, so you can put a VR headset on and sit in like a courtside position. Surely then you're going to have to hear the sounds. Like, what are they going to do? Like, just mute the audio? Like, how are they going to do that? It's going to happen, I reckon.
Just play Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson on loop talking about how fat Zion is.
The players. The players just have to sense, if they're worried about their sponsorship deals or whatever, they just got to sense themselves a little bit, I reckon. But there'll be a couple who are like, that'll be their brand, just being an asshole.
So quick question, so just going back to Zion for a tick, I want a long-term take from you.
Yeah,
so
I'm not prepared to give it. I've watched like two and a little bit games of his, but yeah.
Oh, going. I'm like sweeping, like...
I love how one game and people were like doing in-deep dives on that first game you had where he made like three threes in a row.
If you want an example of how bad and how stupid the people on NBA Reddit are...
I love NBA Reddit. Those are my people, yeah?
Right, okay.
This podcast is basically NBA Reddit, the podcast. So, I mean, we're talking shit about a lot of other people, which we cannot back
up anyway.
Don't
dox me.
Yeah, what are you going to say?
I take it all back. I love NBA Reddit.
No.
It was the swinging opinions during that. I was like,
oh, yeah.
That first game.
Zion's trash.
Zion's a bust. Zion's awful. Zion's too fat. And then, all like, Zion's a gross player ever. Gross debut in history.
Mate, yeah, it's true. And then, yeah, it goes the other way. I totally agree with you. Don't read an NBA Reddit game thread. That's the first thing.
Right.
Now, you think that's bad. You've got to go onto a soccer Reddit game. That's right. It's called soccer Reddit, not football Reddit. Because it's mainly American. A soccer Reddit football thread is just like, goes to dark places, eh? Like, it's honestly like, it should just be erased off the internet. It's people just, yeah, it gets real dodgy stuff on there. Dodgy chat. It's not a good place. I don't go on there frequently. It's just occasionally when you want to hate the world. And want to see some death threats against players and stuff like that.
So scattering, yeah, so here's what I want your take, though. Do you think, so Zion's true value will be if they can play him at center,
yeah,
right? And they tried it for like 5 minutes in the first game and he got destroyed.
Yeah.
And in the game against the Celtics, Marcus Smart was taking him off the dribble. They were just going at him every play.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he'll stay that bad.
He's a rookie, yeah.
Yeah, but do you think he'll get to a level where he can be, at a playoff game, play defensive center?
Yeah, well, I don't know much about Zion, but I guess it's just the ball's in his court, right? Like, does he want to become a...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Defender to a capable level or not. And so far, from what I've seen of his career, like I would bet not, because... Just looking at the level, and he's had injuries, so I'm being asked about, looking at the level of shape he's coming into. Hey, maybe that's a shape. Maybe he plays a 20-year career at that shape, and I'm an asshole. But like, I'm like looking at what he's done so far. I assumed he'd come back from his injury ripped. I assumed they were taking precautions on his injury, and he'd be on the bike or whatever he can do. What sort of injury was he out with? Was he out with a leg injury?
It's knee.
Knee, okay. So maybe he can't do that. And so maybe he's come back in worse shape than he can. So I'm just talking absolute shit here. But I hope so. And to get to the level he's already got to, he must have an incredible motor. So let's hope he can translate that to defense. And hopefully Luka gets better as well.
Luka's not getting better.
You don't reckon?
I Luka's up there with my most loved players. Everything's attitude. Like, he looks like having so much fun. But if you want to criticize people for being in bad shape,
yeah,
that guy is 20, right? He's a professional athlete. And he looks like he's like a dad bod,
nah.
Shocking state.
Nah. You can say about Jokic, man, but not about Luka. Luka's okay. He's not. He's definitely not in the NBA shape, but he's, yeah, I don't know. Who are we to judge? I don't know. Actually, we look all right.
I got a little Luka upside.
Luka is good. He's relatable.
I love Luka. Yeah, he's up there with my favorite players.
He's relatable. Don't change Luka and Zion. Just keep on giving us a show. The Adam Morrison quote was, I learned that if you score more points than the guy you're guarding, that's good D.
So, but isn't Adam Morrison also famous for being like one of the greatest college players ever, but couldn't physically stand in front of someone, so just would foul out?
Yeah, but also couldn't score in the NBA as well. They had a lot of issues.
It wasn't right.
If you can score but not play defense, is a position for you. See Trae Young.
And now he's some sort of weird libertarian, right? That
I did not know about Adam Morrison.
Yeah, I think he's quite an interesting guy.
Oh.
Lives remotely on some sort of like ranch, like sort of semi-preparing for one of those people that prepares for the sort of, not apocalypse, but the fall of the government.
Yeah.
Has a lot of guns.
Wow.
He's got some interesting views.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to look into this. You sure this is...
Standard libelous warning applies here as well, but I'm pretty sure.
I like it, man. I like it. Get it out there. I want to follow Adam Morrison. He's one of my favourite players in college, and... Yeah, what an interesting career he had. Couple of big questions. I wanted to start a new segment called Big Questions. It's a shame Paul's not here to be part of this as well. Why do I keep on talking about Paul? Miss you, Paul. Big questions. The first question I want to throw out there is, what do you think the most forgotten team in the NBA is at the moment? Like, who's a team that's... Oh, no, let me rephrase it. Who's the least relevant team?
Okay, so not just going off record, but I'm just going to keep this to the teams that should be relevant.
Yeah.
Because the Hornets are, like, terrible, right? No one goes to the game. You were saying no one watches the TV ratings. They're awful.
Yeah.
But I think it's the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Like, they're
not relevant. They get relevant because they're, like, there's a lot of stories about what a disaster they are. They've lost nine in a row.
So you're including disaster and relevancy. So,
yes.
So, like, mediocre. So then it's Sacramento Kings, surely. And
traditionally, it's been the Sacramento Kings. Again, I don't think they are because of the stories about what a disaster they are.
But I think those stories are, like, there were 2 months ago about them being a disaster. Now they're just accepted as not that good and that Vlade will get fired.
But they've also, the Sacramento Kings have relevancy as they have a couple of young players who are, like, worth, like, on league pass just clicking over to, right?
I feel like there's a lot of rules to this question that are introduced after my answers. Oh.
All I want to do is say my opinion, and that is, the answer is the Bulls.
The Bulls
are a big market team, a legendary franchise, who no one talks about, good or bad. And maybe it's just because people, they were so bad for so many years that people have just, I guess people are commenting on the coach. But they're fascinating how little publicity they're getting. Like, not even Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen, who should be hyped players, they're just gone. They're irrelevant.
But Laurie's been awful this year, I guess. And I hate LaVine. LaVine's one of my most hated players.
Well, if it's stealing the dunk contest off Aaron Gordon, Paul Williams would agree.
Aaron Gordon was, he won that.
Yeah.
Hey, and so this, I thought about this the other day, though, because I flicked onto the Bulls just to see my beloved Benny the Bull. And I was thinking, Jim Boylan, because I always like to relate being an NBA player to my working in an office.
Yeah.
And Jim Boylan would be like having the world's shittiest job at a really cool company, but with just a terrible, terrible boss.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to have a shit job, have a cool boss.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's a hilarious situation and a hilarious shambolic franchise, but just amazing how they managed to erase themselves from relevancy. And if there should be a relegation in the NBA, I've said many times before, and they would be one of the teams probably getting relegated.
Imagine if they got relegated, but like the Windy City Bulls, their G League team, got promoted.
That could happen. That'd That's my cool. dream. That's my fantasy. A well-run team. So Dolan's Knicks would get relegated, and a new New York team would rise up.
You'd just have like five Raptors teams, though.
You reckon?
Aren't they G League team?
No, but like you remember, like, just money would win. So billionaires would just start a team in Seattle and play their way up.
Supersonics, we're back, baby.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a great idea.
Interesting.
Oh, it's an amazing idea. Don't worry, I've got everything coming up. Well, I screwed you with that big question. It was a disaster. Well, you can screw me with this one, because this is one you asked, which I had no question about. You asked, who's got the nicest looking jumper in the league? And I've just got to come out and say, I don't really look at jumpers and don't think about it. There's quite a few players who I hate their technique. I don't like the way Harden shoots. I don't like the way Giannis shoots. I don't like the way Jokic shoots. There's a whole lot of players where I don't like watching the jumper, but I never really watch many people and think they're pretty. I like the way Kyrie attacks and plays, so maybe Kyrie, but I haven't thought about it at all.
So I guess my lens for, like, because I didn't, unlike you, after my storied basketball career between the age of 9 and 13, where I couldn't miss, could dunk, you know the story.
Yeah.
I didn't play again until an adult.
Yeah.
So I'm like one of the, come from a lens of self-taught, right? So all I want is a beautiful jumper.
Yeah.
And sit fine, but I can't jump and shoot very well.
Yeah.
So when I love a good jumper, and not just the release, but the lower body, the jump and everything, right?
Yeah.
So Tim Hardaway would actually be up there for me.
Tim Hardaway Jr. or Tim Hardaway
Senior? No, Jr. Current players only.
That was speaking of irrelevant things, the player, like, what, he's on the Dallas Mavericks?
Yeah, but I'm just listing the nice jumpers. I mean, this doesn't help if you've got no...
No one can remember what Tim Hardaway's jumper looks like. I've seen him play live and can't remember.
Really? He gets on an angle, forward momentum, beautiful.
Players are former... I don't like Klay Thompson's jumper, but it's good. I don't like the way he sets his feet. And I mean, I guess he squares them with the shoulders beautifully, but like... I guess it would be natural that the players, the kids of pros, would have nice jump shots.
Well, that's where I was getting it. Exactly where I... Because if you... But
Curry,
then,
Clay, Tim Hardaway. Who are the ones in the league? Glenn Rice Jr. from the New Zealand Breakers, now fired due to criminal convictions.
Carmelo's got one of the classically great jumpers.
Oh, I hate his jump. Oh, there you go.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Dame Lillard, what are your thoughts on
him? I hate how Carmelo's big body... big size, and then his jumper is like lift the ball above your head and like little wrist action.
Yes, I love it.
I want to show you. I want to go outside right now and show you. There's a hoop down the road. I want to show you my jumper and see what you think.
Yeah, let's. We'll have a jumper session.
Also, I want a video. Me and you. That'd be so pathetic. Out of the hoop.
Full work clothes.
I also haven't seen my jumper before. Like I barely looked at it.
Have you not taped yourself?
Film some videos. Not really.
So, is there in Auckland? There's that place. That's like a. Shot clinic, eh?
No, I've never heard of this.
Yeah, as you can go, and they've got ball machines.
What?
And nets, and they film you.
What?
And there's like video analysis. Let's do it.
So me and Paul went to the NBA experience. We talked about it on a podcast, and they had these amazing, like NBA, like almost spec hoops, like really impressive hoops and backboards. I love a good hoop and backboard. And a button on the wall that you could raise or lower the hoop to your desired height, right? Pretty amazing,
wow.
Right? And so, and you'd film yourself dunking, and I, because I can dunk, brag again, I started at 10 foot, and like my 10 foot dunks were like pathetic. And then even when I lowered it to 9 foot and then to 8 foot, still just so humiliating watching myself attempt to dunk. Even though in my head, I'm like, this is amazing, I'm getting huge hang time, you know? It's like you don't realize how amazing those NBA athletes are.
Well, they when they hammer it at home.
Yeah, unbelievable. And obviously the hang time they get is just like, I couldn't get that off a trampoline.
Well, for all the people at home that are dying for more content,
yeah,
let's go to the. I'll find this place.
Yeah, I'm keen.
We'll book it.
So much fun.
We'll get the analysis. Let the people decide who's got the nicest jumper.
Heck yeah! I haven't played basketball in 6 months, and I'm like, I want to train for this. It's awesome. Bloody excited. I just want to mention before we tail this off, the Bucks are on track for 71 wins.
Still don't believe in them.
Yeah, no. They're a regular season team. I'm a bit the same. I'm like, definitely could they make the finals? Absolutely. Are they the favourite in the East? Probably. But yeah, are they going to beat Lakers, Clippers or Rockets? Probably not.
I'd love them to get their record though, the regular season.
Yeah, I would love to. I doubt they'll go for it after what happened to the Rockets. Even though normally the teams that get the record end up winning the championship. After what happened to the Warriors, you'd assume they'd do a bit of resting towards the playoffs.
Do you think it's cute how they do those, like the WWF-style wrestling after wins, or...
I don't even know what they do. What do they do? Explain it.
So after the wins...
I've vaguely seen
this. They sort of, bit in the tunnels, they'll do like quite complex... The Lopez brothers and Giannis and a few others will do quite complex, act out like scenes from WWF heyday. Like,
do you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of LeBron's teams when they were good but not contenders. Like they would come out there and they'd have so much fun. And So I respect that because I like it, because I like to see him having fun and stuff like that. But it's normally not a sign of a serious contender this year.
That's all I was getting. But the Lopez brothers are notorious fun lovers, right? Huge Disney heads. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. Oh, mate, are you kidding? Paul has talked for hours about the Lopez brothers buying a suit from Epcot. They spent tens of thousands of dollars on a Disney suit that they like official suit from the theme park. They found it was stolen.
That's sad, but devastating news for the get them to Orlando.
Yeah, definitely. A perspective from you put in the notes. You've got a big update from the old sleep mine, which it's the word sleep like sleeping, and then mine like gold mine. It's the spreadsheet analytics device you made for judging fantasy basketball players.
Yeah,
and you've come up with some new interesting insight.
Which I have,
Yeah.
I might need to see said notes.
You wrote, is DeMar DeRozan good?
Oh, yeah, here we go, yeah. So, DeMar DeRozan's one of my all-time favourites.
Yeah.
And a lot of analytics suggest that he has never been a positive, hasn't for years been a positive, a net positive for any team.
Because
he's
not good at stopping the man he's guarding.
And he won't shoot threes.
Yeah.
But I watch Spurs. Now, I believe in SleepMind, the tool that I created and birthed and gave sentience to.
SleepMind is such a bad name.
No, because it mines data for sleepers.
SleepMind. We'll call it SleepMine.
Or SleepMiner.
That's better.
Right, okay.
SleepMiner. No, the word sleep is no
but
good.
But it isn't a mine of sleepers. It mines for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so SleepMiner.
It is a miner of sleepers.
SleepMiner?
Yeah, you're going into the pool of sleepers and you're mining out the gold.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I want to get away from the name Sleeper Miner. That's not...
It could sound bad, yeah. Could...
So anyway, that's right. So, I watched...
Why don't you call it like Nug Digger or something like that?
Nug Digger, that's not good.
You're digging for nugs of gold.
Yeah.
Gold Digger. Now, that has other meanings. Diamond in the rougher finder. Yeah. Okay, I'll come back to you.
Yeah, let's circle back on that. But DeMar DeRozan, I watch a fair amount of Spurs games, and I feel like he's good. And I don't care what
this
people
is
say.
Shocking. Look, mate, you're going to get fired from the podcast for this. So you're coming in and saying, oh, you've watched some Spurs games, and DeMar DeRozan's fine.
No, I'm asking you.
He's great.
Yeah, but why do people say he's not good?
This is why. Because he's played in many finals for the Raptors, and then last year for the... in many playoff games for the Raptors, and last year for the Spurs, where unfortunately, and I genuinely... as someone who had this myself, in my own... I can't believe I'm so sorry I'm losing my own basketball career. I genuinely got the yips. I have it now. I can't shoot free throws, which is fine, because if you, me and you have a free throw game right now, I'll probably destroy you, like shoot at least 75. Oh, actually, you focus on free throws.
Yeah, I'm a free throw expert.
Are you quite good at free throws?
I'd say I'm 80, above 80% in
pressure. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. We have to have a free throw battle, because I'm not that good, but I'm like acceptable as a forward, as a free throw shooter, right? When I played in games, I just could not make them. And genuinely, I just can only put it down to psychology. And in my time playing, and I learnt this after I, when I was really wanted to be a basketball player, I didn't want to be an NBA player. Well, I obviously wanted to be that, but I didn't think I was going to make American college or anything like that. But I wanted to play as a bench player, a bench warmer in New Zealand. I genuinely, when I got put out in preseason games and stuff like that, I genuinely had major problems catching the ball, moving my feet, finishing layups, just basic things. Making threes from the corner, just because, and this is things all that I'd nail in practice, just because I had massive confidence problems. And I think that's so true for so many players. Eric Bledsoe for the Bucks is a real red flag. And I'm not criticizing these players for it, even though they come under a lot of criticism for it. It's just an unfortunate part of being an athlete is that the pressure is something we never talk about. And some players, unfortunately, can't. We celebrate the ones, the Damian Lillards of the world, who seem to be able to rise to it. And Eric Bledsoe's mentioned that he's had problems with it in the past. DeRozan seems to have a problem with playoff pressure and unfortunately is just not the same player. You might even be able to raise the same argument a little bit about Harden, who still plays well in the playoff but not the same crazy level. That's probably more due to adjusting defenses. And it could be for that for DeRozan as well. Sorry, I've gone on a huge rant here because I'm passionate about DeRozan. But I just think that's it. That just for not performing the playoffs is the problem.
So, yeah. So, the reason I raise it, though, is I don't... So, as much as I believe in analytics, sometimes analytics are wrong.
Totally. I thought you... I was waiting for more information.
No, I just mean, like... So, I don't care. Like, I've never understood... So, the last few years of following basketball,
yeah.
I haven't understood people that are like, ugh, it's the eye test. I don't care what the numbers say.
Yeah.
But that is how I don't feel about like that about anything in basketball except for DeMar DeRozan.
Well, so what are you saying? What, he's a good regular season mid-range?
No, I'm saying that analytics are right for everyone except for DeMar DeRozan.
But what about in the playoffs when you watch him and you're like, I wish he would make a basket right now or catch the ball?
So the playoffs is a separate issue. That is legitimately he's got issues.
Can I say that I have tied two things before? DeMar DeRozan has awesomely been open about his mental health issues. I may be conflating that with his on-court performance because it could also be exactly what I just said. I'm backing up my own point here. That it could be that when you plan for DeMar DeRozan, it's a lot easier to stop DeMar DeRozan because you know what he's trying to do.
He's just going to pump to like a he's going to back you down from 17 feet, then do some weird pump fakes and go up and under.
Yeah, but also get in the lane and it's like let him. I mean, he can make tough shots, but it's like make him shoot the toughest shot as possible, which he can make. But also just don't foul.
Yeah, don't foul.
Because it's easier said than done. It's like Harden as well. But it's like watching Lowry at the moment. It's so funny watching the Raptors. They're on an 8-game win streak. And watching Lowry just drive in and just throw the ball in the direction of the hoop, draw a foul with his massive ass, and then it's free throw time, baby. And it's like, that's not going to stack up in the playoffs. But it's fun in the regular season. Yeah, shout out to DeRozan, one of the greats. Do you have a bit more time? Can I just do a guy I've been thinking quickly?
Yeah, of course.
This is a segment that I do from time to time. I think it's good. I think I've got some good ideas. Good talk during the intro because Paul made this. It's so painful.
What?
Gaffin thinking. That's enough of that shit. What were you going to ask?
No, I was asking, is this the intro?
That's the intro.
Yeah, yeah.
You could hear it.
Yeah, but it's just the...
What do you think it was?
The intro to the intro was seeming quite long.
It's so long.
Yeah.
It's my problem. It's ridiculous. There's an intro to the intro. Guy, I've been thinking where I come up with ideas that I've been thinking about. I've got a lot of good ones stored up, so I've got a lot of good ones to hit with. But here's my idea right now. It is football teams release a new kit every year. It's weird the NBA teams don't do this. And my initial thought when I thought this out loud to myself was like, Guy, you're an idiot. Why would you break the sacred bond of the Celtics jersey or the Lakers jersey? These legendary kits have been the same for years. I actually looked through it and I only think there's like five teams with like iconic kits that can't be changed. Lakers, Bulls, Celtics, Knicks, Blazers. There's a few others which like maybe Spurs, obviously you got to honour the Tim Duncan era and stuff like that. It's a pretty iconic kit. I don't love it, but it's like they love it and they don't change it much. 76ers is almost right. You want that classic Dr. J look. Detroit is pretty iconic. They've effed with it a bit, but like keep Detroit roughly that style. Everyone else is, most of them I'd say trash, or a lot of them debatably good. And I think people just buying the third kits anyway, or the new city edition, or whatever they call them anyway, why not just have the teams design a new kit every year different? Why
but,
not?
Yeah, but isn't the answer because they're already having like, they've already got like four versions you could buy in the shop? Well, that's so why just, bother?
That's Nike's way around. I don't know why they have continuity.
Does American football don't really change their tops, do they?
No. No, you're right. And I guess like American sport, even though this is hilarious because the sports have only been going for like 40 years and people can only remember the last 30, but they pretend tradition's such a big thing. It's a bit of that propaganda.
Isn't that why they were so weird about putting advertisement on their jerseys?
Yeah.
Because there's some, like, they're weirdly, yeah. They've never had
that before, totally. But you look at football teams, which embarrassingly have too many advertisements on their jerseys already, and, you know, it kind of ruins the culture a little bit. But football, which is all about tradition and culture and heritage and stuff like that, they change their jersey every year. Three different kits every year. Don't know, the colours are basically the same, especially first and home and away kits. But like, why not? Like, who gives a shit about the Atlanta Magic kit or the Toronto Raptors kit?
But so hang on a second. But both those examples have changed a lot.
They have. I know, that's what I'm saying. The Dallas, who can remember what the Denver Nuggets uniforms look like? It's hard because they've literally, since Carmelo left, changed their uniform like four or five times, very subtly each time.
So you're saying, why don't they do yearly kits. Releases? Because you'd sell more.
Sell kit. A lot more, but also, there's so many bad kits out there.
Terrible.
That you may as well. Like Utah Jazz, like everyone loves that new fade alternate. Imagine if they're doing shit like that every year. And don't get me wrong, a lot of them will be bad, but most of the NBA teams have bad kits at the moment anyway. Like, who's by the Timberwolves? There's so many teams. Don't get me wrong, the NBA teams, they're not shocking. The Raptors kit is not horrible. If you own a jersey, it's fine. It's just not memorable in any way or special.
No, I agree with that. And I always think, why aren't they doing more crazy rebrands all the time as
yeah.
well? Why not? Because
yeah.
they're just private companies, right?
Yeah. Speaking of heritage, like the Raptors last year, like they just abandoned their uniforms in the playoffs anyway and wore their alternate city or earned journey jerseys, those red ones with the diamond, which didn't even say Raptors or Toronto on them, said North. They wore those, I think, lifting the trophy and in most of the games they played.
Yeah, so there's absolutely no rules.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
So I don't get me wrong, I think the Celtics, Lakers, those five teams should probably keep them the same. Yeah, Blazers.
So I was under the impression that the Mavs were going to do some crazy rebrand after Dirk had retired because Mark Cuban hates it.
Yeah. Well, A, the Mavs are one of the uniforms that I'm like, they hold up. They've been around for like 20 years.
I hate them. I just think they look
a bit early 2000s.
I think they're so gross, yeah.
Oh, well, I think they're fine. Are we talking about the graffiti uniforms they've released?
No, I like the graffiti one.
Do
I
you?
I bought a Luka Doncic
You're,
graffiti.
No,
yep.
No.
I know. I don't care. I love
no.
it. Yep. Yep.
The kitty griff. What?
Yeah, and I kept my necklace from the game with the light up Mavs slogan.
Where are you gonna wear this? Where are you gonna wear this?
Wear it all the time.
Wear it.
I'm yet to wear it a second time.
Kids are gonna bully you. Like, have you ever? I used to have a Honda Civic car. It was fine, and I drove into a petrol station once, and as a 28 year old man, I can't remember how old it was, and some kids bullied me about my car, and it felt so bad. It was like being back at high school. You're gonna get that when you wear this jersey around.
Well, I look forward to that. I just look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I've already talked you out of your car. It's probably an expensive purchase as well, right?
Yeah, they weren't cheap.
I also think the quality of the swingman jerseys needs to increase.
Terrible. I just don't agree with screen printing.
Like the way they've, they've like ironed on the logos and stuff.
Exactly. There's a real issue because the knockoff jerseys you can acquire are of such good quality. That it really puts the swingmans to shame.
I've had, before you say it, just to bounce that out a little bit, I've had a bit of dodgy experience with the the DH gate ones I've bought, but maybe it's because I need to get weird. Like the sizings, especially for football jerseys, aren't good for me on DH gate, so it's quite hard for me to get them. But like just the NBA logo will be bung, or like the collar's weird, or the I tried to buy those Raptors North ones because I couldn't buy them legitimately, and the lettering wasn't quite lined up properly. You know, like there's just like quite obvious defects that mean I couldn't get them. The classic ones, my Rasheed Wallace Trailblazers one, mint, like almost undistinguishable except for like the Nike logo down the left-hand corner. But besides that, like flawless.
Mm.
But the I think quality is a bit mixed. But you're right, like they're not seeing the bar high if they're trying to worry about fakes.
Who has got the best jersey in the NBA, do you think? No.
Well, Lakers still, classic.
Really? I'd go the Heat
golden
third.
Purple.
That Miami Vice.
I always want to buy a Vice one. I didn't find the black one black enough if you saw like the actual swimmings they were selling. Because, yeah, I love that colorway, but definitely not like... Best jersey is definitely Celtics, Lakers, Bulls, like the classics.
I just don't agree with that, but I like the old... I like the Shaq Orlando Magic one, if we're talking retros.
Yeah.
Or the current would be... Yeah, it'd have to be the Heat or the Jazz.
No, Lakers yellow and purple is the best. That's undisputed.
I've always hated it. I don't know why, but they went really early for the plunge neck, which I hated.
They called it like a Asian collar or something like that.
Ooh.
Is that racial? I don't know. It's like influenced by like a kimono. I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. That's just... No, it's not. There's nothing wrong with that.
A lot of teams have that still. Yeah, I'd go back to the round. I prefer the round collar.
Gotta be round.
The V-neck
I hate
either.
The V-neck. So I've probably got... The other thing with basketball jerseys, I've probably got like six proper quality ones of my favorite players, like KD, Supersonics, whatever, then a whole lot of cheaper ones.
Yeah.
But I don't wear singlets very often.
No, I'd go out of my way to wear them in the summer because of that. Yeah.
Right.
This will annoy you. I went to watch a Real Madrid game, watch Doncic play, and I was calling Donic at the time. So I was calling him. On the podcast, I called him Donic. I watched Luka Donic play and went to a Real Madrid game, and afterwards went to a Real Madrid store and bought a jersey, and I had the option of going Donic or Rudy Fernandez.
I don't want to hear this.
And I bought Rudy Fernandez because I thought Donic was a fad, and I called him a bust last year, and I have been proven wrong.
So you called him a bust last year after the season.
It was part of our very controversial crazy predictions pod where before watching him a few decent preseason games, I was like, this guy's going to struggle keeping up with the pace. At least I didn't say it was going to be a bust overall, but I thought his first year, rookie year, is going to struggle. That's what was my crazy prediction. It was a crazy prediction and it was correctly wrong.
When is the next round of crazy predictions? Because that's all I've got.
We should
got.
Do more.
I love crazy predictions.
That's why this podcast is great. It's why I got Paul. The reason was because Paul makes serious predictions. That's just him trying his best, but they're crazy. You hit him last podcast. Who did he say was going to win?
The Raptors.
The Raptors. They're my team, and I'm not banking on them. Maybe I'm a bad fan. I don't know.
So my wife is a diehard Raptors fan. Hasn't missed a game for 4 years.
Well, okay. Wow.
So I went home.
Look at your wife on the podcast.
No, because it's going to be nothing but wall-to-wall demand. You'll just get like, you know the stories that the home commentators...
Wow.
You know the stories that the home commentators talk about, like Pascal Siakam didn't pick up a basketball till he's 14, right?
Yeah.
They just say them every time. You can't... If she's in here, you'll just be getting those wall-to-wall.
Mate,
like,
you're nigging her right here.
No, I'm not nigging
her. If she listens to this, I bet she's got great insight. I've been looking for a woman to have on the podcast, and your partner seems... You're married?
Married, yeah.
Congratulations. Your
Thank
wife
you.
Seems like the perfect person.
Well, let's get her on here, but
We've also never met as well. I'd love to meet her.
So I came home from the podcast last week and said, look, I've done this podcast...
Yeah.
But you need to know I bagged the Raptors out.
Yeah.
And even she, a one-eyed, diehard Raptors head, was like, there's no way they're getting out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I do, I think, so Paul. What you're saying is Paul's base prediction is crazy to begin with.
So I'm aware that my takes are bad, and I play them up for the podcast, and like, I say what I think, I shoot from the heart. Paul is not aware of it. Are you aware of what you're doing, or are you like, a bit of both?
So let's put it this way. I like think in sort of a self-effacing way that I'm a real, that I could be an analyst because I can really see stuff. And I say it as a joke, but deep down I believe
it.
Yeah. And so I think I'm the only person.
I don't think that. After doing this podcast for 2 years, you realize how many bad things I say. Yeah,
right. So I want to put some of my takes on record so that then we can review them and I can have irrefutable, like all of the great players I've predicted their careers out of nowhere. Markel Fultz.
Luka Doncic.
Yeah, predicted that. Me alone.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I was a lone voice.
Did you? I can't even remember who the most recent number one picks have been. Ben Simmons, was he number one?
I hate Ben Simmons. So that's what I'm saying.
Ben Simmons is back.
Ben Simmons is good.
He's showing flashes. Well, people hate him at the start of the year.
But it's like common sense, right? Like it's just so obvious that you can't construct a team that suits both Embiid and Simmons at the same time.
Have you said the process has failed?
Definitely not.
Where's Hinkie?
Hinkie doesn't... Do you think he's been blackballed? Why hasn't he got another job?
It's really weird that all these teams that are just burdened with mediocrity... Imagine what he could do with Timberwolves right now, where if his plan was just to trade everybody, imagine the assets he could get back. Because they've got talent.
Oh, build around Shabazz Napier. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Nah, but like, okay, I went overboard with... Imagine if he traded Towns. He could get, like, an AD-style haul back for Towns. I mean, maybe this is what they're planning anyway. But and maybe that's blasphemy. I mean, he's the one bright thing about their team. But, like, I reckon he could get a coach in that could make Wiggins look good, offload Wiggins to, like, some dumb F team. Like, as I was saying in previous podcasts, I reckon he's a guy who targets idiot GMs.
Agreed.
And he'll just call up Vlade Divac and go, let me get three of your, like, distressed assets for Andrew Wiggins. And
send Buddy Hield over in picks.
Yeah.
So here's a interesting question prediction for you.
Yeah, throw it out there. So, crazy prediction or normal prediction?
I'm asking you for a crazy... Yeah, I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
Well, this one might be a hard one to go crazy on.
Yeah.
But so I've got a little bit of a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
That the NBA has got a massive vested interest in both, but definitely one of, Kat or Giannis re-upping where they are. Because if they don't, so...
Mate, it's like you've just listened to the podcast and just stolen my great guy I've been thinking segments. Giannis is the future of the NBA personified. If he doesn't re-sign there, the NBA is doomed. Literally every All-Star, every MVP from the last few years has gone to either New York or Los Angeles. It's everyone's worst nightmare from 10 years ago come true, and Giannis is the last hope.
But so maybe I did steal this off you.
I think he is going to re-sign with the Bucks. Like, they're good enough with him, and he's going to be a star, and he'll get the most money there, but who knows?
So the real question was, do you think that there's the same sort of thinking around Kat, or because Kat isn't a household name like Giannis?
No, I think he's totally disposable, and no one gives a shit where he is, and it'd be a good idea.
Carl, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Carl, you're not disposable. I love you, Carl.
He's definitely disposable. No, because it's not working out for anyone. I think Minnesota fans, all they want is a competent front office. And if they got someone there who had a reputation for doing something well, I think they would understand trading Kat. He's not an icon of that franchise. He's not valued as Kevin Love.
He's the sort of guy that would go to the Lakers and become like a multi-championship winning. You could build, if you have a good, like some decent pieces around him.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And who knows? You wouldn't put it past if the Lakers don't win this year, then being able to pull that off. Like trading everything they've got for him and then filling the rest of the team, like having three players and filling the rest of the team out with like vet minimums. It's possible.
I'm into it.
Anyway, this is the end of the podcast. Sorry Paul wasn't here. We might get him if he comes in any time now because he's literally not texting me back. If he comes back, we'll try and get a Magic Mayhem a bit later on. JT, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Why'd you say that weird?
I don't know. I want to do Magic Mayhem. I'm the resident magic head.
Yeah. Well, do you have any magic updates?
That's so bad.
they're going to make the playoffs. Like they can't.
Yeah, but that's
by default.
But that's not a positive on them. That's an indictment of the NBA.
We'll hear what Paul has to say about that. He's back from New York City and somewhere in Auckland. It's amazing. He was easy to get hold of in New York City than he is to get hold of in New Zealand. Thanks for listening. I've been Guy Williams.
I've been JT, guest star extraordinaire.
Yeah, peace out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.